1332, Victor and Rita Hudson, south of Road 404, 25 feet east of Road 32. A special use exception to retain a manufactured home on a medical hardship basis.
Whoever's going to testify, why don't you have them all come up and we'll get them sworn in.
Okay, if I could just introduce myself before the witness is sworn. I'm Neil Himmeline. I'm an attorney representing Victor and Rita Hudson in connection with this application to retain a special use exception. and this is Rita Hudson to my right, Victor, her husband, who is also an applicant, who will not be testifying, is seated behind me. And Stephen Tethester, for whom the special use exception is being sought, is also present this evening, but he too will not be testifying. Only Ms. Hudson will be. And I ask that she be sworn.
Your full name and address, please.
Rita Hudson.
Address?
574 Seashore Highway, Litchfield, Delaware.
Okay. And you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
If I would, before we begin, I'd like to hand up my entry of appearance as well as a request that this special use exception application also be considered under the United States Fair Housing Act and the State Fair Housing Act as a reasonable accommodation. But I think we're prepared tonight to go forward under the Sussex County Code requirements.
I can advise, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to advise you and the board that this isn't becoming to your attention because Mr. Lank, our director, would normally approve this through the letter process, okay? And he just didn't feel that with the information you're going to get tonight that he was comfortable with that, that he wants the board's opinion on whether to renew it or not, okay?
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
And if I could just briefly summarize the history behind this application. There was an application filed by Mr. and Mrs. Hudson in September of 2005 for permission to place a mobile home on their lot as a special use exception for their son, Stephen. Stephen is a person with a disability, and according to that application, Mrs. Hudson had requested that he be nearer to her so that she could provide a more supportive environment given the nature of his disability. The application was filed, a physician's statement was attached, public hearing was held in October of 2005, and the special use exception was granted. In 2007, a request for an extension of the special use exception was filed along with another physician's statement. That was approved by the director. In 2008, another request for an extension was filed with two letters from the same physician, one on the form that the county uses on a physician statement form, and another which was a note personally signed by the physician. Mr. Lank, apparently believing that that there had been some concerns that were brought to his attention, thought that it would be necessary for Mr. and Mrs. Hudson to reapply, which they have done, so that the board can decide whether there was still a need for the hardship approval. So if I could proceed, I would like Mrs. Hudson just to explain what the original reason was back in 2005 for her request for the special use exception for Stephen.
Okay, Stephen has been in special education all of his life. He's got a lot of diagnoses. He's got many handicaps. And it started off, you know, even as a young baby, mental handicaps, learning disabilities, ADHD, attention deficit. And as he got older, he developed anxiety, depression because of the difficulties he had in school and in life and in social situations. And we did the best we could taking care of him. He lived with us in and out for most of his adult years after school. And then he had an accident in 2001 where he injured his shoulder, he injured his knee, and he also has degenerating discs in his back. And it just got more and more complicated that he couldn't just take care of himself. He couldn't get his own housing. And so we decided to put him in on a hardship on our property so that I could help him. Just basic daily living skills, just trying to learn how to take care of a home better, helping him parent his now baby is 4 years old. I also have his son lives with me, and so we kind of co-parent that child together too. And we've had the mobile home there for 3 years now.
Now, who else lives with Stephen in the mobile home?
Stephen lives there, his wife lives there, and their four-year-old son.
Now, does his wife assist in the help with Stephen in daily living activities?
She can help him to an extent, but she also has some severe problems of her own, which kind of limit what she's capable of doing by herself, too.
Now, can you explain a little bit in more detail what activities you provide for Stephen? Do you help him with shopping?
Well, Steve and Samantha don't have a car, so I do all their shopping with them. I take them to the store. I often have to help them make decisions about what they can afford to spend on what kind of food would be the best to buy, what's going to last them longest throughout the month, and just in general help them figure out what recipes they can use and what it's going to take to feed them with what resources they have.
What about finances? Do you help them with their finances?
I pay their phone bill, and then they pay me back for that. And the electric bill is paid. Steve has gotten a prepaid credit card so that he can deposit his Social Security checks on that card, and then he can use them to call in and pay utilities and things like that. It spends like cash at the store, but it's prepaid, so there's no danger of him over getting a bill. It's you put cash in, that's what's available.
Now, you indicated that he receives Social Security. Is that disability benefits?
Yes, it is.
And does he receive that because of the impairments that you described earlier?
It's because of the combination of impairments, the mental impairments, and the physical chronic pain issues.
Now, was he receiving Social Security disability benefits at the time you originally applied for the special use exception in 2005?
No, he wasn't. At the time we applied for the special use, he had applied for it, but it had not yet been granted it.
And it has been granted since then?
And it has been granted since then, yes. And it was retroactive back to 2004.
And he is still getting Social Security disability at the present time? So in your opinion, do the circumstances exist today every bit as much as they did back in 2005 when the original application was approved?
Yes.
Now, before you brought the mobile home onto the lot, you had gotten approval from the Board of Adjustment, is that correct?
Yes, we did.
And then in determining the size and the location of the mobile home, did you work with the county planning department?
We had called the planning and zoning and asked what kind of home, and they said it had to be a single wide, any year, any age, any condition. It wasn't specific about that, as long as it was a single wide.
And were you required to make improvements to the land before you put the home on the lot?
We put in a 6-bedroom septic system so that it would handle both houses because they were both 3-bedroom, or we planned on 3-bedroom, so we had to have a 6-bedroom septic.
And that was a requirement of the county?
Yes.
And was there an inspection done after the mobile home was?
Yes, and a certificate of occupancy was granted.
Now, does the presence of the mobile home on your lot, in your opinion, substantially affect adversely the appearance of the neighborhood?
No, I don't think it. In our neighborhood, within a mile radius of us, there's 15 other single-wide mobile homes and 7 double-wide mobile homes. So it's not unusual for there to be a single-wide mobile home in our neighborhood.
Now, how many days a week are you doing something for Stephen and his family?
Well, we have appointments. On the average, I would say there are appointments like 3 times a week. And then going to the store is like almost a daily occurrence. You know, a lot of phone calls back and forth to try to get things arranged. And the grandbaby comes over to our house, and the other son goes over there. And so we're just working on a daily, daily basis, many times a day, in contact, just trying to keep things going and organized.
Now, I have copies of the prior application, the request for the extension. I had been told by the Office of Zoning and Planning that they would be made part of the file, and I just wanted to make sure that those are part of what the board members have in front of them. Mm-hmm. And so the last time you applied for an extension, it's my understanding you were advised by the director that you would need to reapply. Is that right?
Yes.
And that is why you have now started this process
all
over again. I have no further questions.
I think you can add there that the director did waiver the fee to. Okay.
Yes, he did. That's in the letter. He waived the $400 fee. Absolutely.
And your son gathers sees Dr. Kowalewski on a regular basis?
Yes, he does, every month.
Let me ask you a question. My limited experience with getting a disability, okay, it's pretty hard to do, isn't it?
It is. I can tell you I
jumped through an awful lot of hoops before the government is going to subsidize someone. Am I correct?
That is correct. In fact,
I only know one case that I know personally that should have been a disability and wasn't, and had to jump up and down and backwards, and doctors and things like that.
With Social Security, the federal government requires that not only can you not perform your usual work, but that you not be able to perform any work that exists in significant numbers in the national economy.
Now, how do you prove that to them? I mean, is it by doctors? Or
it's by doctors. It's by knowing what Social Security requires in terms of medical documentation.
Okay.
They also consider age, previous work experience, what they call your residual functional capacity. That is, what you're physically capable of doing. Whether if you can still do sedentary work, there still might be other jobs that exist that you can perform. So you almost, if you're a younger individual, you almost have to be incapable of doing even sedentary work to qualify for a Social Security disability.
I thought that was interesting for the board to hear, because I've been there. I've been told that this person could, what word did you use? In other words, he could do another job.
Perform any other work that exists in significant numbers.
That's
unlike,
he didn't get it, right.
Unlike welfare benefits for a single individual in the state of Delaware, the physician signs off, just the person is disabled. The worst thing that any physician can do in connection with Social Security is say that one sentence, patient is disabled. They want to know what are the significant findings. We'll then make that determination.
There's a drawing submitted with the application that I'm referring to this one. And your property is surrounded by obviously family members of Mike, is that correct?
Yes.
And is this represents Mike's home property here?
This,
or is that several
here
properties?
This one, okay, this one
down
is
here.
Michael's house. This one is his garage, and those two are other mobile homes.
All on the same property?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not that. I have no idea how they're there.
We have some pictures, if you would like. I could get the witness to maybe just describe what's in this picture. And if you want to hold that up to the board and then just describe it.
This is a picture that just shows the mobile home itself and where it sits in relation to the only other neighbor that's affected at all, and it's filled and wide and the difference between the properties.
And when you say the mobile home, that's your son's mobile home. And if you just want to say what that picture is.
And this is just a wide view of our street. This is like
pass that down to him. Like
my home, Steve's home, and then the only other neighbor who can even see our house.
This is Steve's home right here?
Yes.
This is property that Scott's store used to sit on.
Yes, that's Scott's store.
Okay.
Is your home the store?
No, the store's been removed.
The one next to it is the white and brown paint job. He'll be showing the picture over here.
And if you want to explain what that picture is.
Is this their home?
Yeah, that's
chicken thing. You come out 36.
Who's is that? That's who is that on the left, all the way over on the left?
Mike Morton.
That's Mike's property, right.
And here's another view from across the road. Across the road from us, it's just an empty field. You know where the Kiwanis Chicken Barbecue is? And it's just an empty field across the road, so there's no neighbors there to be impacted or anything.
Actually, that's a good segue for the next picture. What you were describing, the field across the road.
And again, this is just the empty field across the road.
Okay. Finally, if you just want to say what that picture is there.
This is the south-facing side of our yard. It's just total woods over here. I mean, it's just total woods. Nobody lives back there.
Okay, are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. McCabe?
No, sir.
Mr. Mills? Okay, hearing no further questions. Okay, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? There's one, two. Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application?
Mr. Chairman, I have two letters in favor.
Okay, we have two letters in opposition. First, keep the hands up again, please. There's one, two, three, four. Okay, all of you that would like to speak in opposition at this time, please come forward.
Taking no one in favor.
Yeah, those two letters were in favor.
I had two, and the others were in favor. I had.
Anyone want to speak?
There's a woman back here who did want to speak.
I asked her. Okay, I sent her for a hand. I asked you, if you want to. Excuse me, sir. Just a moment. Now she wants to speak.
First, we need to hear the people in favor.
The two letters in favor.
You had two letters in favor, and then this lady here, like, okay. Yes, please.
Your name and address, please.
Ruby Brooks. I'm at 15190 Red Hawk Trail in Ridgeville.
Right. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. My driveway goes right by the Hudson's property and Mr. Tolchester's trailer, and I have never had a problem with them. My children play with their children. And I am all for them staying there. They have been the best of neighbors, although some of our neighbors...
Sir, give her a moment, please. I'm sorry, ma'am, about that. Go ahead.
Thank you. But I have no objection to that trailer being there. And as you know, Scott's store was my mother's store.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell in the letter, she has no objection, and she owns the house right next to it. And that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
State your names and addresses.
Michael Martin, 4604 Seashore Highway, Bridgeville.
Carol Sparks, 4604 Seashore Highway.
Hold on. Together. Sir, just go back up here, would you please?
Same address.
Same address.
You both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Nothing but it.
All right. One at a time.
Okay, basically, what I've got here is in contrast to what she's saying about how this man has got a disability. I got pictures here, evidence, where he's doing all kinds of work. This man's a fraud.
Sir? Sir?
You might,
okay, one time. This is in regards to this application.
Right.
I've been requesting a special use. I will not allow that. I will tell you one time.
Right.
Don't do that again.
Any derogatory comments will hold you in contempt of this hearing, and you'll be removed.
No problem.
Have you removed by the sheriff?
No problem.
Sir, did you hear me?
I hear you.
Thank you. Now, proceed again, please.
Additional pictures.
This man is constantly doing work around the house.
Saying he's got a back injury. Clearly shows how he has a back injury. As far as her taking care of him, doesn't happen. She's saying something about his electric bill. This man's been arrested for stealing electric, searched my house, put my property, my girlfriend, my life in danger, in jeopardy from surging and stealing electric, okay? He's been arrested for
what? I'm not familiar with that term. What is surging?
Well, he was stealing electric.
How?
So apparently he had a box he was putting in his panel and stealing electric from the co-op. Co-op came out that day, proved that he was stealing it, arrested him.
Okay, but how did that affect your property?
Well, my house got surged when he blew his box up. He blew his box up in his panel. He blew it up. He surged my house. He destroyed my microwave, my phones in my house. Okay. Since day one, the traffic in and out of there, the activity has been nonstop. Just recently, he's been busted.
Searched, there's all his drug charges, his wife's charges.
3-year-old boy was in the house. Everything is right there, black and white. Now, how can a man do ecstasy, marijuana, and say he is disabled when he wants to party every day? 7 days a week, traffic in and out of that lane. All hours of the night, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And this is what I've had to live next door to for 3 years. Nothing but problems. She sat there in her car watching him blow his box up when he was stealing electric. She says she's taking care of him. Bull. She sat there in that car and watched him blow his box up. We were watching him do it right out our window. Mm-hmm. Sparks flying, him falling back. He throws his little box or whatever it was in the house and rolls out. You know, here it is. My house just got surged. You know, this is what I had to put up with for the past 3 years. You know, he's had fugitive living with him, people living with him. He's not even supposed to have anybody living with him.
Okay.
You know, it's ridiculous. You know, the pictures is proof. This man does not have no injuries. And there's more to it than that. He's had, after the bust, he had McGee over there at his property trying to fix his plumbing because apparently was flushing stuff down his toilet. Well, just 2 or 3 days ago, we see him carrying the whole toilet out of his house to his backyard. Now, if you got a shoulder and a back injury, you're not going to be able to carry a whole toilet. You know, yard work, carrying wheelbarrows full of dirt. Where is the injury? Detective Wright, that handled the case for that bus, told us that he's a doctor jumper. Detective Wright, that headed the bust, the search warrant and everything, told us he's a doctor jumper. Now he's putting his child in danger. He's been charged with it. It's right there in black and white. His wife has been charged with the drugs, the paraphernalia, and she's taking care of him? Give me a break. She ain't doing nothing but allowing it. I've called her and talked to her. Do what you gotta do, she tells me. She ain't trying to stop nothing. She sits there and watches it. I don't see any grounds whatsoever that you guys could even think about giving them an extension. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Carol Sparks. I live with Mr. Martin. And the morning that he searched our house, I was sitting there doing reports because I lost my job for foreign trade, and I was doing reports because I was going to Sussex Tech. And they seen that I had my light on, so I shut my light off. And then Mrs. Hudson pulled up there, and Mr. Telehoster came out there, and he pulled this thing out of the box. And all these flames went back, and he fell back. And then he hurried up and got back in there and finished putting that in. I mean, these flames went all over our house because it is really close. I think it's like 20 or 30 feet away. Mm-hmm. And these flames, it was a great big ball. And then when we called, I mean, I had noticed, they asked us, the electric company asked us, did I know how long or about how long he was stealing it? And I said, well, I've been noticing our lights has been flashing for like 3 weeks. And he says, yeah, it's been about that. And I mean, with everything else, and then Mr. Martin has had two operations this year. And I had to be the one that, I mean, help him get everything done because he was in a cast now for 10 weeks. And he just got out of the cast, and he can walk some on this leg. But, you know, with him waking up all hours of the night because in pain and everything else, and between the drug traffic that Mr. Telehoster had over there, it was unreal. And he woke him up one night, and I said, I've been going through this now for 8 weeks. And he says, well, I'm going to call Mrs. Hudson. He called Mrs. Hudson. And at that moment, he had just came home from the hospital because that morning, they gave him a block in his leg. And that morning, he was, you know, the block had wore off. And I was up all night and everything else. And with all, it sounds, because it's only 30 feet away, the traffic that was going in that house sounds like it's right in our house because it's so close. And then the other people, I mean, when I asked him, I said, why didn't you fight it way back when? He said because he didn't know that it was going to be next door because the road that they advertise is Road 32. But if you're on 404, the road is advertised as 36. So, but it's a county road, 32. So that's why nobody, Mr. Hoffman didn't show up for it, and neither did Mr. Baker back then. Mm-hmm. So I just hope that you just, it's really nerve-wracking, especially, I mean, I'm almost scared to leave my house knowing that I might not have a home to come home to. Right. You know, and I know that the other, you know, we've even talked to Mr. Telehoster from time to time at the line. And, you know, to him, what we have talked about, he would sit there and say, well, you know, he would go back to Mr. Brooks's and get high and drunk or whatever. Well, I don't care if he does it back there. It's none of my business. But when
that statement,
I don't care.
Ma'am, we'll also hold you in contempt.
Please.
That's what he told us. So, you know, I'm sorry to hurt anybody's feelings, but we have tried to, you know, to let him stay here and try to do everything we possible could. But with the drug charges, I don't want to be around him. Okay. Any questions?
Anyone have any questions?
No, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question for the applicant.
I do too.
What do you have to say to this?
I have not seen that.
Who is Kyle Bittler? Is he a resident in the mobile home?
He was a friend of Steve's, and he had stayed there for about 2 weeks. And I said, you know, who is this guy? And he's like, man, he just needs to stay here for a day or two. And it turned into a week or two, and the police came. They had a search warrant for Kyle, and they did find drugs in the house. Kyle had drugs. Stevenson had a very little bit of marijuana that they were...
So he's not a permanent resident there?
Pardon me?
He's not a permanent resident there?
Kyle? No, he wasn't. But the search warrant was listed under his name.
Okay.
So there were a lot of, you know, drug and drug paraphernalia and stuff found in the home.
Is he there now?
No, no. He went to jail.
And what happened to the charges that were placed against Stephen?
The charges against Stephen and Samantha are two misdemeanors each, one for possession of marijuana and one for endangerment of the child.
And
they're on probation.
Do you know what level of probation they're on?
I don't. Do you know what level?
Place on level one probation.
He can't speak until
he can't.
Or sworn.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right.
Okay. Now, what about these pictures? This doesn't look like an individual is disabled.
Yeah, if I can respond to that. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of the medical documents that was submitted with the request for an extension by Dr. Kowaleski, which I might add, if he was doctor jumping, as this witness testified, he wouldn't be going to the same doctor. That's not doctor jumping. And it's Dr. Kowaleski who has been consistently submitting the physician's statements. But what I'm in Dr. Kowaleski's note, he indicates that Stephen is attempting to work part-time. Being on disability benefits, in order to qualify for disability benefits, you have to be incapable of doing any substantial gainful activity. But substantial gainful activity has its own definition. So the fact that somebody may be on a ladder or maybe working in the garden.
Or moving a refrigerator?
Or moving a refrigerator is not conclusive evidence that he has regained the ability to do substantial gainful activity. And I think what Mrs. Hudson testified to is that the primary basis for his award of benefits is not necessarily due to physical impairment, but the mental impairment. That's why he needs the kind of support and guidance that she's been trying to provide in terms of finances, shopping. Those are not exertional requirements. Those are kind of non-exertional mental skills that he is lacking because of a lifelong mental impairment that he's had.
Well, this doctor has not referred to that.
Dr. Kowaleski, he indicates that he does indicate to...
He has some learning disabilities.
Are you referring to the most recent one, or I'm looking at
recent one.
He does say he's not treating him for
the
mental impairments, but
he's been told that that's his problem, but yeah. He's not treating him for that.
But the very first letter that was submitted, or the physician's statement, that would have been with the 2005.
2005. That would be neurology, CMRI neurology.
Yeah.
Right. There's a letter here from Dr. Kowaleski that says the patient would benefit from the support.
I think he's referring to the 2005 application.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
But it says further, not able to hold down a steady job because of problems related to his chronic back pain.
That's what we're looking at.
If he's got chronic back pain and can't have it hold down a job for that, then how can you do those sorts of things there?
Dr. Kowaleski is treating him for the physical problems. And again, I would submit that simply because somebody is engaging in some physical activity, I mean, these folks can snap a picture of him on any given day and say, look what he's doing, he's working in a garden, they're not saying how long he was in that garden for, what he was like the next day, or the fact that he may have been helping with the moving of an appliance, how he was the next day, how long it took him to recover from that. But I think the point I'm trying to make is if you, and you may not have it in front of you, but according to the very, very first physician's statement, chronic pain from failed shoulder surgery, multiple learning issues, ADHD, dyslexia, testing at Easter Seals consistent with 11-year level of education. And then it's important that he have relatives or friends in close proximity in order to provide for that additional supervision and care. Again, I submit that it's not necessarily to provide that level of physical support, but it's the emotional, the mental support that he needs for his lifelong mental impairment.
Did you say 11th grade education?
You know, I'm not sure whether it says 11th grade or 11th year.
11th grade. I mean, 11-year-old. It was 11-year-old.
It's consistent with 11, and it's hard for me to decipher that.
11-year-old, Y-O.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because it's crossed out, age is crossed out, with 11, and then age crossed out, level of education.
Thank you.
No. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. One response, quick.
Right. Okay.
Now, on the question I have is that if he's not a doctor jumper, why isn't the original doctor back in 05 treating him now?
Oh, well,
in 2007?
We certainly all have the luxury of changing doctors. I mean, just because I change employers and medical insurance doesn't, and I have to change doctors because my medical insurance doesn't cover, doesn't make me a doctor jumper.
Right. Well, like I said, I mean, there's more activity than what them pictures show. That's just some of the stuff that he does around there. There's a whole lot more. My basic concern is that she's saying that Kyle Bidler lived there for 3 weeks. This traffic's been in and out for 3 years. Constant, all hours of the night, 3 years, ever since day one he moved in there. And I've had it with the traffic. Done.
Okay.
And plus there's two other people back here that want to testify against him.
And you asked, well, earlier, who's back there where to testify?
The gentleman here.
Okay. Come on, sir.
Name and address.
4638.
First.
Oh. William J. Baker.
Okay. Now an address.
All right. 4638 Seashore Highway.
Richville.
And I just live across the street from it.
Okay. Well, don't go away. Name and address.
Yes. Hoffman, 4711.
Hoffman.
Hoffman.
H-O-F-F. Okay. Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay. One at a time.
Okay.
Well, the only thing we got against the, I personally don't even know him. I live there. I've been there 19 years. But I don't really know the guy. I don't associate with none of my neighbors, far as that goes. But when I found out, you know, they were dealing drugs, I don't think we need him in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say.
How did you find out about the drugs? Did the police come to you and tell you?
No, I've received a letter.
From this gentleman here?
Yep.
That's the only way you knew?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I'm just a little ways. In other words, I'm far enough so I can't see the...
Right.
You know, there's Well, there's three or four houses in between me and them.
You're north of Scott's, old Scott's store.
Yeah, but I'm east.
Yeah, east of Scott's store.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what has happened? So what has happened that these neighbors have bothered you? How have they bothered you?
They've never bothered me. I mean, that's what I say. I don't know them, really.
Right. That's what the question was. Yeah, they haven't
bothered me. I mean, the only thing I'm interested in is, you know, we got other kids in the neighborhood, you know, him peddling drugs or having drugs. Well, we know he was busted for them.
Right.
You know, so.
But you knew about your neighbor telling you.
Yeah.
He called
Mike told me. Yeah, he told me.
That's all. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Yes, sir. My name is Don Hoffman. I live at 4711 Smith Road, right behind Mike, left-hand side off of 404. I don't know the people that well. Kind of stay to myself. Mike's a good neighbor. I just had a heart attack not long ago. They've been right there. And to make a long story short, nice long. But they're constantly in the man's back. You can't talk to them. I talk to them a while, and then it seems to go away. It's constant battle about trying to get something done. And he's right about the traffic in the back. He's right about trying to solve the thing without being here. Well, then you got the drugs in there. Then you got the electric. He doesn't care. He can kind of do what he wants.
Okay.
Never hassled me. I ain't got nothing against this guy outside of one thing. He don't want to be a good neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And then pictures prove that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Now it's everybody. Okay. Gentlemen. On the opposition and testimony, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we take case number 10,332 under advisement.
Second. We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. McCabe that we take case number 10,332 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. The case has been taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office first thing in the morning. Okay? Thank you, everyone. Okay. All right, let's go on into the old business, I guess, right? See that one?